Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be able to stand before you again and to have this opportunity, and what a blessing it is. I desire your prayers, your constant prayers throughout the entire time that I'm up here. Just continue in fellowship with the Lord, that His, like the song said, all is vain unless His Spirit comes down upon us. So just continue to pray for me throughout this service, that He may speak through me, that it wouldn't be any part of me that you see or hear, that it would only be His Word, that I'm humbled by the opportunity to stand before you. And I truly mean that. I love each and every one of you here, and I'm so blessed to be a member of this congregation. And I count myself as the least among you, and I am just an empty vessel looking to serve. And I just desire your prayers as I come before you trying to bring a message this morning. So if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now this morning, I've known this day was coming. You know, Brother Matt and I talked about it since the last time that I spoke on Wednesday night. And we were blessed to attend a meeting this weekend. And we heard word preached that was blessed. And those of you who are there agree. It was very profitable. But also, the car ride back and forth with Brother Matt and I was very profitable to me. And I was able to learn some things. And we were able to discuss some things. And the anticipation of standing before you up here in the pulpit is something that is quite different from what I've done before and leading you in Bible study. And so I just, like I said, I desire your prayers. It's such a humbling thing to stand before you. I truly mean that. And I care for each and every one of you. And I just pray that whatever word I may speak would be used to glorify the name of the Lord and do that only, and it will be a profit to each and every one of us as we go forth from this place. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as I was preparing for this, as I was studying, there wasn't anything, any one topic I had on my mind in particular as I began to prepare and as I began to think about this, you know, weeks ago when I knew that this was coming down the road. But immediately, I would say within the next couple days after I knew that, you know, this was going to be the day that I was up here, this verse struck me as I was just reading a daily devotional, as I was just reading just a passage on this thing I have. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, I read that and I said, wow, that's me. You know, that's me. I don't come before you trying to be the most eloquent speaker or trying to impress you with any type of wisdom I have, or to try and speak unto you in a manner, or try to present anything to you in a manner that impresses you of anything of me. You know, it's all of God. It's all by the grace of God that we stand here today. It's all by the grace of God that I'm able to stand before you, and it's all by the grace of God that I'm able to stand up here and try to give you a word that He would just speak through me. But what I really wanted to look at, and the main verse that I'm focusing on today, is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. It says, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Wow, what a powerful verse that is. What an amazing thought that is, that the Apostle Paul, think of all the journeys the Apostle Paul went on. Think about everything that we know that he went through. I mean, he writes so much, and he tells us so much, and he speaks so much to us. And think about all the people down through the ages of time who have read his writing. Think about everyone who became influenced by him and all the things he's seen, yet he knows nothing among us save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not one thing among us save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Right there, the word "save," we're talking about how we've talked about how you have to rightly divide and how you have to look at context and things. "Save" right there means besides or except, nothing but. Nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that's the reason for all, that's the reason why we gather each Sunday, each Wednesday. That's the reason that it's the reason that we do anything we do in this life. He's the reason that there is a life to live. He's the only inspiration that we need. He's the author and finisher. He is the most mighty. He is the most undeniable, the most gracious. He is the most amazing thing that our ears will ever hear, our mouths will ever speak of. And He's the only reason that we should be motivated to do anything we do. If you can't look into what you're doing and say that I can glorify the Lord in this, then I beg you to consider what you're doing. Because we're to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when I was thinking about this message, and thinking about it, we were between Easter and between communion, and what amazing blessings those are. What a gift we have. What a gift to the church that the example provided for us in the communion service, which is coming up. What a blessing that is, and what a time that is. And it's an amazing thing. So I was thinking about that, and then we were between Easter had passed, and the things that you think about during that time. And why is Easter to be the only time that most folks think about the crucifixion? You know, why is Easter the only time that many are going to come to church and the crucifixion be preached for many? Paul says, know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the reason for everything we do. Morals and standards and doctrine and everything that gets preached on Sunday and on Wednesdays and gets discussed and everything you read throughout the week and everything you learn and study. Well, it's to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the reason. That's the reason there's good news. That's the reason there's hope. Without that, there would be no reason. But I want to focus on a couple of phrases throughout that verse. And knowing nothing. He says that he determined not to know anything among you. Now I want to pick this verse apart and think about it. And to know nothing, think about all the things that you know about. Think about all the things that you've seen in life. Think about everything you know about your job or schoolwork or sports or what have you. Think about everything that you know about and the time that you've spent learning that and the things that you find yourself to be most knowledgeable in. Just think about all those things for a second. And I mean, we've been blessed to have minds and brains to obtain knowledge. Now, that's a gift from God, and that's a blessing. But think about all the things you know, and just hold on to that thought as we turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now, friends, think about everything you know. Think about all the things that we know. Think about all the things that you do in life. Think about all your endeavors that you go through. keeping in mind that verse, knowing nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And right here in the Philippian letter, we read that he counts the things that were gained to him, he counts but loss. He counts them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and don't count them but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that he may know Him and know the power of His resurrection. That power of His resurrection. No power been ever seen like that on earth. No power ever will be seen like earth. The grave couldn't hold Him. Death was defeated. There is now a reason to rejoice. There has been a sacrifice put in our place. Because as we walk through this life, and you think about it, and there are so many today, especially in today's culture, that often think so highly of themselves and want to look at themselves and want you to see nothing but themselves. And that's the way that many are taught, and I'm not condemning, I'm not saying that I'm never guilty of that. I'm not saying that any of us are. We need to look at ourselves, and there's often times where we desire the attention because that's our nature, because that's what we were born into this world with. When Adam fell, all fell right there along with him. The human race was now corrupt. We're all born in sin. We're all born dead in sin. Can't seek Him, can't know Him, can't desire anything of God. We don't want to be a part of Him. You say, well, man's born, he has this empty void and he needs it to be filled. That's not scriptural. Man who's dead in sin is perfectly content within himself. He wants himself. He cannot love because he loves himself. He doesn't know what true love is. But that new creature is what has to be born. That new creature that's irresistible, that God places within you, that's what desires. And I tell you, as soon as that creature is planted, eternity's ours, because we have somebody. We have the power of His resurrection. We have somebody that filled our place, somebody that felt the wrath of God. Somebody as a placeholder, somebody to stand and to be loaded up with our sins, the sin of a fallen race for all time. You have a perfect man. A perfect man. Never knew sin. Man and God. To be able to come before, come down to this earth, humble himself lower than the angels. And to hang in our place. On that cross. Now, when I think about it that way, why would I want to know anything else? Amen. I wouldn't want to know anything else. He's the reason why we do everything we do. He needs to be transplanted into everything that we consider ourselves a part of. If we can't glorify Him in what we're doing, why are we doing it? He's the only reason. I want to know nothing. I'm so thankful that I've been blessed with the ability to go to school and obtain knowledge and hopefully one day have a career, but I want to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If He's not a part of everything I do, if He's not my motivation for going to class, if He's not my motivation for choosing a career, then I don't want to do it. There are going to be blessings that you obtain in life, and it's only because He is injected into those things you do.
Amen.
And that's the only reason He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But I want to know nothing. We are to walk in this life seeking after Him. We call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ. Followers of Christ. The life He led. Matthew chapter 5 says to hunger and thirst for righteousness. How do we know what's right? Jesus Christ. He walked the path of righteousness for us to follow. I tell you to hunger and thirst after Him. Food and drink are things that we require to live. When we hunger and we thirst, and I know oftentimes today in society, there are so many people that are dieting, that are worrying so much about what they eat, and we have to watch what we eat, and there's so many things that get put in front of us that are unprofitable for these bodies that we've been blessed with. But I tell you, you don't have to worry about thirsting and hungering after the living Word. There is no diet. The only diet is that you can eat and drink of righteousness until you can't have any more, and we'll never get to that point. All that you want, He'll fulfill you. The reason that we don't have more of Him is because we don't give Him more of us. It's never Him. He's always right there. He's always gave the most for us. And you want to seek Him more, you say, Lord, let me fill you more. Child of God, give Him more of you. Inject Him into more things in your life. Let Him fill more of your mind. Let your thoughts dwell on Him more. Pray without ceasing. Do these things. You'll feel His presence. He's there. He's promised us He's there. And He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. That we may know the power of His resurrection. Hold on to that thought. And turn back a page or two to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Now I want to focus on that portion that says, save Jesus Christ. Accept Jesus Christ. E-X-C-E-P-T. Accept. Not accept. Besides Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. When we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a great hope that is. What a day that we're looking forward to, that's been promised to each child of God, to each one of His chosen. What a day that will be. That's going to be the most amazing point that our minds can't fathom. We can't think about the glory in heaven. We can't, our minds, these carnal minds can't even, we can't start to comprehend. Think of your happiest moment in this life, the joy you felt when you were uplifted. Nothing of the world mattered. You didn't feel constrained by time. You didn't even feel time anymore. That's only a small glimpse of what we're going to be receiving in eternity. There will be no constraints of time. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no death anymore. There's going to be no burden. I'm looking forward to that day. Know nothing save Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. We're supposed to know Him. If we know nothing save Jesus Christ, what are we supposed to know? We're supposed to know Jesus Christ. Think about your relationships. Think about the relationships you form with people within the church. Think about the relationships that you form with people, especially your significant other or the person that you spend the most time with. What a blessing. What a blessing those people are. What a blessing the fellowship is that we have with one another. And that's only because Christ has shown us. Husbands and wives, you're able to love because Christ showed you how to love. He has given us the perfect example. He's given us the only example we should follow and the only instruction. His selfless love to come down for His bride, His church, and His people. His selfless love to take His perfection and His righteousness and to come down and die the worst death any man ever has on the face of this earth. I want to love like that. I want to be able to look at the people around me and the relationships I form and love like that. Love like that that's selfless. Love like that that doesn't see the infirmities, the iniquities, the past transgressions. Love that's selfless. Now think about the example He set before us in teaching us how to love and applying it to the people that you come in contact with, and especially to the person that you spend the most time talking to, the most time fellowshipping with, the most time in their presence. Now think about knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you in a relationship with Him? If you know Him, are you spending enough time with Him? Relationships require time. They require effort. They require your mind being on those things. They require you to be in fellowship with one another. Think about all the things that a relationship requires. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ for eternity. He's the Savior of our souls. He's taught us how to love the other person that we spend the most time with. He's taught us those things, and we're not going to give Him enough time. It's a relationship with Him. It requires something of you. He's done it all to get us to glory. He's done every part of that. He paid all of that. We didn't have anything to do with it. But now while we live in this life, and the blessings and the salvation we receive in this life, while we're here on earth, child of God, look to Him. Pray to Him. Spend time with Him. He's spoken to you in His Word. I'm preaching to myself. I fall short every day. And to think that the Savior of my soul, that I don't spend enough time reading what He's given me, what He's spoken to me, I don't spend enough time in communion with Him, in fellowship. He intercedes to God for us. He's our intercessor. We can go to Him anytime. Think about before He came, the process that they had to go to. They didn't have someone who they could go to at all times. Someone who they could bow their head, their Savior that they could call out to. Because He hadn't come yet. We have Him interceding on the right hand of God for us at all times. We're the most blessed people to ever walk this earth. Amen. To think that we have His Word and we have a direct communication line with Him, but we're only going to give Him an hour on Sunday, or we're only going to give Him 2 hours throughout the week, Wednesday and Sunday. And how many hours do you spend with the person that He has taught you to love? Now, it's a relationship. I don't mean to sound like those things aren't a blessing, because they are, and I want to stress that and how important that is and what a beautiful thing it is to have those relationships here on earth. But don't let it overshadow the relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't let it take the place of your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul. Know nothing but Him. Spend time meditating. reading, praying. Pray without ceasing. The relationship that you have with Him, He'll bless you beyond belief if you give Him your everything and you give Him your all. Find ways. If He didn't bless us again, we should still praise Him the same.
Amen.
If we never received one more blessing because of what He's done for us, we should praise Him all the same. But He blesses us throughout. He's went above and beyond. We can't imagine that type of love. What wondrous love is this? We can't fathom. He's the reason why. He's the reason that we should do anything in life. To know nothing save Jesus Christ. We've went through those two parts of it. Now the last part, I'll tell you, it's the most important part. Him crucified. Him crucified. He came not to do His own will, but the will of His Father who sent Him. He had to pay our sin debt. Your sin debt. My sin debt. He had to be the perfect Savior. He is the reason that it's all possible. Through Him crucified, all is now possible. He didn't only walk this earth a perfect man and then ascend up into glory. He walked the earth a perfect man, yet He was beaten for our transgressions, hung on a cross, dying the worst death any man, any person on the face of the earth has ever died, never will die. You know, it's often said, people ask all the time, what is your number one fear? It's just stuff people ask all the time. The number one fear of the human race is to be alone. Is to be left, to be forgotten, to be alone. It ranks over snakes and sharks and spiders and everything else. Is being alone. Now, not only did Jesus endure the cross, but the reason, again, He goes above and beyond is because He was alone on the cross. No man will ever die any death comparable to what Jesus Christ did, because He'll never leave us or forsake us. We're never alone, but for those hours on the cross that He endured, His Father couldn't look upon Him. Hanging there all alone, loaded with our sin. The perfect man. He knows no hate. He doesn't deserve this. People will say, you serve a Savior who allowed men to nail Him to a cross. He wasn't powerful. They said at the time, they tested His power. They said, if you're who you say you are, come down. It's not men. I'll take that back. It was men that were holding Him on the cross. It was love of men. That's the most powerful Savior. That's the one who I want to serve. The greatest love story ever told is Jesus Christ. The greatest love story ever told. He humbled Himself and became man. He walked this earth feeling what we feel. Humbling Himself down. The Savior. For His predestined path that was set before Him before the beginning of time. For a fallen people. You say, I'm not that bad. You know, I do okay. Go to church. You know, I read my Bible every now and then. I'm not that bad. Our actions on this earth without Jesus Christ are filthy rags.
Right.
We deserve nothing. We can't see God. We can't know God without Him coming into our lives. And the people who know that this doctrine of grace that gets preached up here is so wonderfully done every Sunday, you should be the most thankful people there are. You have hope in a Savior who was the perfect sacrifice.
Amen.
Who paid every bit of sin debt that there ever could be. Who everyone of his that he loves is covered in his blood. There's not one that gets away.
Amen.
The perfect sacrifice, the successful Savior. Nailed on the cross. Beaten, spat upon. You think about your life and how you walk through, and sometimes you're ashamed to be a Christian. How sometimes you don't want to speak up because what the world's going to make you feel like. Didn't even resemble a man. Couldn't recognize him. Beaten, spat upon, laughed at, mocked. That's a horrible death for somebody who's guilty. But the perfect man, the most pivotal point in the history of the world was the crucifixion. Never going to be anything more important. Never going to be anything bigger than him, our successful Savior, nailed upon the cross, loaded with our sin debt, paying it to the Father. We may now be holy and without blame. Our sins are now cast as far as the east from the west.
Amen.
He can look upon us now and say, "This is my child." What a glorious thought. What a glorious Savior.
Amen.
Each one, by His grace alone, can now enter into the kingdom of heaven that He's chosen. Each one that He died for. He didn't die for one that's going to hear man's corrupt sermon and not choose to follow him. That person's not going to burn in the lake of fire because we have a successful Savior. If he loves him, he's going to have him. He loves you and he has you. Engraved in the palm of his hand. You can't be plucked out. There's nothing you can do that can get yourself away from his love. You can walk through this life, living the most defiled life. We're not going to experience His blessings because we're not in that relationship that we talked about with Him. We're not going to feel it here if you walk that way. But if He's planted that new creature within you, if you know Him, if we know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you're going to desire to walk that way. You got to fuel it with His Word. You got to walk following after Him. You got to be obedient. You're going to experience the most wonderful blessings in this life that you ever could because of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's all by the grace of God. Nothing of man. Couldn't seek Him, couldn't know Him. But He loved you so much. Loved you so much to come down, to die the worst death, to be loaded with your sin, to hang on the cross, to have His Father not even be able to look upon Him. And He died on that cross. I'll tell you where the good news lies, that He was raised back up. Death couldn't hold Him. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. And now we have a reason. We have a reason. We have a purpose. That's the good news. That's the reason we meet. That's the reason we have Sunday service. That's the reason we have communion. That's the reason that we meet here today. That's the reason we have deacon ordination. All these blessings. That's the reason you can walk throughout this life, going to your job, going to school, going to whatever you have to do, whatever your interests are. That's the reason that you can do those things and be profitable.
Right.
Not monetarily profitable necessarily, but profitable because we know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His death on the cross gives us hope. His death on the cross gives us a reason to live. His resurrection is the good news. That's the reason that I stand before you today, by the grace of God, and that only. Nothing that I've done, nothing that any of us have done, on our own to deserve this blessing. To be able to come together, fellowship with one another, to hear His words preached, to sing praises unto Him. Know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a blessing it is. I appreciate your kind attention. Continue to pray for me throughout the coming days.
I don't remember the last time that I felt so convicted and so lifted up at the same time. The Apostle Paul told us why that he desired to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that's what he preached, is so that your faith, would stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where your faith is to be, in the power of God. And he desired to know the power of his resurrection. Because, friends, if we can lay hold of that, what harm can come? What can we not overcome if we can lay hold of that power? Turn to number 232. Number 232, and while we stand and sing a couple of verses of this song, if you have a desire to confess your faith in Christ, if you have a desire to express your love for the Lord, if you have a desire to identify yourself with Christ by being baptized in His name, what a blessing. What a blessing. What a privilege it is to ask for a home in the church, any other way that we can receive you. Church bids you to come. Christ has come to you already. Christ has laid hold of you already. He has apprehended you. Paul went on to say in that third chapter of Philippians, his desire was to apprehend, lay hold of that purpose, the purpose for which Christ had apprehended him. Is that your case? Christ has laid hold of you, and He's done so for a purpose. Now He calls on you to lay hold of that purpose. The church bids you to come. No more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I
I just want to tell you all that I love being here on Sundays, and I love being here with God, and I love being here with all of you, and I want to be a part of the church, and I would love it if you have.
Amen, brother.
Move me accepted as a candidate for baptism with full membership in the church.
Y'all, I guess you've all said amen about that, right? How about another verse? There may be others. Stay up here.
Another hymn and have
have a fellowship handshake, and this is for everyone in the house while we sing number 154. And we're in no hurry, and we want you all to participate in this if you so desire. Let Brother Seth know how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, how much you enjoyed his message. God blessed him richly, blessed all of us in the process. And also let Brother Jason know how much you appreciate him, how much you love him. And I commented at the beginning of, or near the beginning of the service, we never know what other blessings are in store for the day. And you know, we'll stop in the middle of this song if you want to stop us and ask for a home in the church. We'll be glad to wait on you. Number 154. Amazing grace.